Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served the Valley for decades. They find you the right insurance. I don't care whether it's auto, home, life, business. And they find you the best price. And if there's a claim, they go to work for you as if it happened to them. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Quick headlines of the day, then the play-by-play call of the day. Headlines of the day include the Ohio State Board to discuss the Urban Meyer probe starting at 9 o'clock Wednesday morning. Number two, Shea Patterson has been named the starting quarterback at Michigan. Made that announcement. Also, the Redskins have added Adrian Peterson to on a one-year contract to play there. And Penn State number 10 in the initial AP poll with Alabama number 1, Clemson 2, Georgia 3. It's Wisconsin 4, and Ohio State is 5. Michigan State is 11. Michigan is 14 in that poll. So that gives you an idea where people stand. It's interesting when it comes to the polls, right? You get a story about the poll. Well, that's really great. My takeaway is from the poll. How about just showing me the poll? You got to dig left and right to find the stuff all the time. Seriously. It's not in the story. I don't care about what your five takeaways in the poll are. I just want to see the poll. I'm smart enough to make my own takeaways. All right, play-by-play call of the day. The Pirates were tied 1-1 in the bottom of the 11th when Adam Frazier came to the plate.
And a drive to right center field. And out goes Frazier with a walk-off. Raise the Jolly Roger. Frazier's home run wins it in the 11th.
It was actually easy to raise the Jolly Roger because it's been at half mast. They just had to send it the rest of the way up. So, but good pitching by the Pirates over the weekend. The Cubs, they split with the Pirates, but only scored one run in each game. It's good pitching. So here is the AP Top 25. Alabama 1, Clemson is 2, Georgia 3, Wisconsin 4. Wisconsin actually got a first-place vote. Ohio State 5, Washington 6. Oklahoma 7, Miami 8, Auburn 9, Auburn and Washington open against each other in Atlanta. Penn State 10, Michigan State 11, Notre Dame 12, Stanford 13, Michigan 14, USC 15, TCU 16, West Virginia 17, Mississippi State, Joe Moorhead's crew is 18, Florida State 19, they open with Virginia Tech and Virginia Tech's 20. Central Florida 21, Boise State 22, Texas 23, Oregon 24, and LSU 25. So there's your top 25 poll to start the season. Okay. There you are. All right, let's bring in Ben Jones, statecollege.com. Ben, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Were you at Photo Day?
I was not at Photo Day, but we had people at Photo Day, and I heard all the Photo Day things that were here, there to be seen and heard.
Your thoughts?
Well, if we're thinking about the same sorts of things, I think it's always interesting how Penn State handles injuries in the sense that you will see a guy in a cart or see a guy in a boot or on crutches wandering off, and they will shuttle him away, and you will never see him again, and then he shows up. And he's magically healthy. So in terms of, probably the only news out of that, which was that Tommy Stevens was in a boot. He tweeted, "Don't worry," or something to that effect a little bit later. He looked healthy in practice last time we saw him. So so who knows? I mean, he'd had some lower body injuries before, but I'll take him at his word that he's going to be fine. And I think ultimately, you know, if you're Penn State, you're not going to play Tommy Stevens more than you have to. I wouldn't think, especially early on, unless maybe you want to use him somewhere in the red zone in the pit game. But, you know, even if he's a little banged up, the time of season when Tommy Stevens is going to be the most helpful for you, at least when it comes to his packages out there on the field, let alone being a backup quarterback, you've got to think, you know, we're probably 3 or 4 weeks away from that being a thing.
What's your feel about this football team? You know, I mean, you know, you could talk about in, out, so forth. I mean, they're ranked 10th to start the season. So what's your gut about this team?
You know, that's really the million-dollar question is sort of, well, not what I think about it, but the answer to that question is, what is this team? And I think you look offensively, you know, any team that's going to have Trace McSorley on it is going to have a puncher's chance. That offense, I think, will not struggle, but will have to find a new identity without Saquon, without Mike, without Deshaun. And I think they've got the talent to do that. I don't think there's really any question that these guys can still put up points. Will it come as easily as it has the past 2 years? Maybe not, but I think ultimately, by the end of the game, they're still going to be a 30-point team. They're going to be in most every game they play. I think defensively, that's really the question, is they've recruited a lot of talent. They've brought in a lot of talent, and can they develop it fast enough? Can these guys get enough experience and stay healthy in all the right places where, you know, 30 points is enough to still win? And I think we've seen over the past 2 years that Penn State's been in a lot of these shootouts. And can you find those moments where, you know, Brandon Bell makes a big play, Marcus Allen makes a big play, Jason Kabinda makes a big play? Can these younger guys, can some of these guys who have not been in those spots, can they step up and make those plays in those higher scoring games that help turn the tide in whatever direction? You know, and I don't think we're really going to know the answer to that until they start playing. I think it's one of these off seasons where everybody goes, yeah, they ought to be good, and I agree with that. But how good with this schedule? You know, we're just not going to know until they start playing these games. I think right. That's one of the nice things for Penn State about playing Ohio State late in September is you're going to get a lot of answers real quick.
Yeah, no question about that. I've said about defensive coordinators in recent years, and it's just my opinion. Can they find one extra stop each half? Okay, because we see so many decent scoring games, high scoring games. Can you find one stop each half somewhere? An extra one. What's your thought on whether Penn State can find that extra stop someplace?
Yeah, and I think, you know, you're absolutely right. And I talked to Brent Pry a little bit at Media Day about that. How does he quantify the defense they've played the past 2 years? Because, you know, no one would say that they've played bad defense, but you can't really deny the fact they've given up a lot of points on a lot of yards. But that's true, you know, with pretty much everybody everywhere. I mean, save for, you know, Michigan there for a little while wasn't letting anybody score, but, you know, it only lasted them for so long. And I think it does. It comes down to those stops. Can this team, can these athletes go out there and make those plays? You know, can they force turnovers? Can Micah Parsons get into the backfield? Can the defensive line do things like that? You know, it reminds me a lot of, you know, the Super Bowl. That's how I approach, you know, as an Eagles fan. It was like, you know, it was clear the Eagles were going to score points, but could they figure out a way to get that one stop? Brandon Graham gets the sack in the strip, and that was the stop that they needed. And I think Penn State, like you said, is going to be in a situation this year where they go, we need one or two stops, and that can turn a game. And that's really been the trend across college football. I think you're right that it's less about, you know, can we hold these teams to 14 points? And some teams are still able to do that. But for the most part, it's about, you know, when we really need a stop, can we figure out a way to manufacture a turnover, manufacture a loss of yards, get these guys off schedule? And certainly these guys aren't as experienced as the last few years, but I think you look at the talent and you talk to a lot of these people around them, you know, these guys are skilled enough athletes and skilled enough players that maybe they don't have experience, but they might ultimately, you know, end up being a more talented bunch.
In the opening month, let's take the non-conference. In the non-conference part of the schedule, what will you be looking for in terms of seeing whether you're seeing a plus or you're seeing a potential minus?
You know, I think it's the little things. I think it's, you know, how is Miles Sanders running between the tackles? That was something that, for a lot of different reasons, we've talked about ad nauseum, that Saquon struggled with at times for various reasons. Is he able to do that? Is he able to hang on to the ball? I mean, I think, you know, as much as I like Miles Sanders, one of the things you think about when he, you know, returns kicks is he's got a couple fumbles to his name there, and Saquon never dropped the ball. Are they able to prevent turnovers? Are they able to stay healthy? Does Justin Shorter look as good as advertised? What's the tight end position? I think it's just all these little things, because I think, you know, going to Pitt won't be easy because it's at night, it's on the road. There's a lot of emotions. That'll be a good experience. But Trace will have that. You know, I think he's the kind of leader that you need to get everybody centered. But really, it's all about, can you get to that Ohio State game and feel like you're hitting, maybe not on all cylinders, but at least you have enough confidence and experience at that point that you can do what you want to do. So it's less about how good does it look. I think it's a lot like the blue-white game where you go, you can't put too much stock in any one thing. And I think, you know, Appalachian State's probably good enough and Penn State's going to have enough rust that that game might look a little closer for a while than people might expect. That's not to say that I think Penn State's going to be in any danger of losing. So really just it comes down to all the little things, the trenches, the fundamentals, and less about, you know, do you look like a team that's going to score 60 points on Rutgers at the end of the year?
Let's take Penn State off the board opening weekend. You've got some games out there that are certainly interesting. Interesting games include Auburn, Washington, Notre Dame, Michigan. Games such as that, Alabama, Louisville. I mean, sorry, but, you know, last I checked, Lamar Jackson's playing for the Ravens. So the excitement of that one's off the board. But is what intrigues you in that opening weekend? I mean, I know we got week zero coming up. I mean, I don't want to, you know, Colorado State, Hawaii. But when we get to actual week one.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Notre Dame-Michigan game is interesting for a lot of reasons. There's sort of the general college football history there. Notre Dame has sort of been in this weird roller coaster. But I think from a Big Ten perspective, you see, you know, today Michigan in the top 15 of the AP poll. There's a lot of high hopes there. There's a lot of Harbaugh there. You know, so that's a big opportunity for both programs. And obviously Michigan's kind of going into this season. I don't know if Harbaugh's ever going to be in a situation where they go, you know, you have to start winning this year or do things before we think about going in a different direction. I'm not really qualified to talk about his bulletproof nature, although it certainly seems like he is. But regardless, you know, this is a big year for him and his program. You can beat Notre Dame in week one. That goes a long way towards at least buying some goodwill by the time you get to a Big Ten season. So that's probably, to me, that's the most interesting, because I think Michigan is probably, next to Penn State, maybe the biggest wild card of teams in the Big Ten East, just because they could be very good or they could be like they have been. And I don't think we're really going to know until we start to see them play, see how the quarterback play goes for them. So in terms of week one and things that I'm looking forward to, it's definitely Michigan, Notre Dame.
How do you feel about neutral site games? I've articulated my point. I want to see games on campus. But how do you feel about the opening neutral site games where an Auburn has to, well, of course, Washington has to travel 2,500 miles to get to Atlanta. Auburn has to travel, I don't know, 2 hours. But how do you feel about those?
Yeah, I mean, I think my feelings are probably from two different perspectives. I think if you look at it from the standpoint of these kids playing in front of a lot of fans and playing, you know, at home, there's nothing like playing at Beaver Stadium or Michigan Stadium or something like that. I think neutral site games in that regard, especially early in the year, are not as cool. But at the same time, I think one of the neatest things to change sports about, you know, Penn State and playing in IT was when they got to that final game and the Utah fans are just going crazy and Penn State fans are yelling at each other. It's just sort of this back and forth. It just makes for a very unique atmosphere. I felt the same way at the Fiesta Bowl because Washington traveled pretty well. Mm-hmm. So those are cool, but I think ultimately when it comes down to kind of what college football is all about or supposed to be all about, you know, nothing really beats a home crowd in their home stadium.
Right. And I mean, and the two you cite are both postseason. One's a bowl game and one was a championship game at Madison Square Garden. And to me, regular season games, you should be playing on a campus. Campus, I mean, it's. I understand the ability to put games together. I got that. But there's something about being on a campus that's just much, much better than going to a corporate place. How about that?
Yeah, no, and I think it's a much more organic feeling. I know I get. Yesterday I drove around downtown and was like, I'm never going to do this until football comes back again.
Quick note to construction people. All right, you know, you could have started in May. Okay, but
yeah,
that's all right.
I don't know what they're doing to Atherton Street, but it looks like it survived the siege of Normandy. But
oh, yeah.
it's I have to drive across town to get to Beaver Stadium on Saturdays, and driving through downtown and seeing all those people. And,
yeah.
You know, you can't help but get excited to have football back. And that's just something that, you know, Jerry World can't recreate as much as it tries.
No, I know. They can't. Ben, pleasure. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Yep, thanks for having me, Steve.
Ben Jones, StateCollege.com. We'll come back with more in a moment. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right. Shea Patterson has won the quarterback job at Michigan, beating out Brandon Peters. They will open the season with Notre Dame. Opening week has some really great games in it, and Notre Dame-Michigan certainly is one of them. Auburn-Washington's another one. Season actually gets underway this weekend. They refer to it as Week Zero. There are no Power 5 teams, though, playing this weekend. Maybe the best matchup is Colorado State and Hawaii, although Mike Bobo is still hospitalized, head coach for Colorado State. So it's group of six schools, a lot of them playing this weekend. And then next weekend, all the Power 5 teams start playing. Not really what you call great Thursday night matchups on the 30th of August. But that entire weekend is filled with matchups. I think, Florida State, Virginia Tech. Is that the Sunday game? Then there's a Labor Day game as well. So you got a lot of intriguing games being played. And Notre Dame and Michigan happens to be one of them. And Shea Patterson has won that job. Penn State is 10th in the poll to start for the AP. The AP does not determine who the national champion is. But what these polls do between the coaches' poll and the AP poll is they create perception. They create perception about where you are starting-wise. And then at the end of or the middle of October, you start to get the college football playoff poll. But again, perception does enter into this. So it's perceived that Penn State's starting point is 10. And they have teams in front of them that are playing big games. Miami has to play a big game in the opening weekend. You've got big game between Miami playing LSU. I think that's who they're playing. And then you've got Auburn's playing Washington. Both teams are in front of Penn State. So it's all about perception, your starting point. And Penn State's starting point is 10. That's fine. That's perfectly fine. And the Ohio State board is meeting Wednesday morning at 9 to discuss the results of the investigation. And whether they make an announcement that day on the fate of Urban Meyer and his job remains to be seen. So those are the big headlines of the day. Phillies have the day off. They open a three-game set with the Nationals tomorrow, 7:05. I know you had a chance to talk with Scott Fransky yesterday.
Great to talk to Scott. And also, we've been very lucky and fortunate to have a gentleman with an awesome baseball acumen in Tim Kirkchin. And when we were at the Williamsport Regional Airport yesterday, waiting for the Phillies to arrive, had a chance to strike up a conversation with Tim, and you'll be happy to know most of the conversation focused on Penn State football than baseball itself. So.
Very nice.
Yes, Tim and his wife were at the Indiana game last September, and yes, his complete impression was totally solidified. The greatest player he's ever seen is Saquon Barkley in terms of college football, yes.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Fransky was awesome, and looking forward to getting back in touch with Scott. Have him on again before the end of the season.
Yeah, that'll be great. Williamsport gets back to the Cutters tomorrow night. The Cutters are here tonight for a finish of one game, and then from there you play a second game. It'll be seven innings, and they're at Williamsport tomorrow and Wednesday. I'm at Front Street Station. We've talked about Ohio State. And again, a staffer had to be reassigned in 2015 because of Zach Smith. I don't understand why this is not being made a bigger deal of, because it's not just that it happened, but it now is in combination with all these other things that happened, where you ask yourself, why did Urban Meyer, with this combination falling into place? And I didn't mention the 2013 DUI because he says he didn't tell him. And look, you can hide that stuff. You can. But the other stuff's not hidden. And when a staffer has to be reassigned, that absolutely is not hidden. Why did he keep this guy? Why? The Maryland situation. Also front and center. Jesse Doherty, Washington Post, joins us next half hour. Is going to answer some of the key questions in the Maryland investigation. We're brought to you by Purdy Insurance.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, welcome back. Great to have you with us. We'll talk with Jesse Doherty from the Washington Post in just a few moments to really outline everything that's been happening at Maryland, how we got to this point. We'll talk to him about that. He's been on top of the story along with Roman Stubbs since day one. And day one of the story actually was May 29th, the day that Jordan McNeil collapsed. Now, interesting enough, on that particular day, on May 29th, it really was not a blistering hot day. It was a normal spring day, like maybe 80 degrees at the time, which, you know, at Maryland, Maryland's a little bit warmer than State College, usually about 4 to 5 degrees. You know, I mean, that's about the kind of day it was. But again, he was in a situation where his body temperature, when they finally got to him, now remember, he had cooled down a little bit to this point, was 106 degrees. We'll talk to Jesse Doherty about that and what has taken them so long to get to this point in just a few moments. Phillies last night beaten by the Mets 8-2. The Phillies are right now embroiled in a very tight race, and having the Mets take 3 out of 5 from them was not exactly what they were hoping to see at this time. Again, the Mets took 3 out of 5 from them, and that's where they stand at this point. And they are neck and neck at this moment with the Atlanta Braves in the race right now. And the Astros, by the way, are neck and neck with the Oakland A's, believe it or not, when it's all said and done. It's been crazy the way this has played out. Now, it was interesting last night. Rob Manfred did announce that the Cubs and the Pirates will play in this game next year at Williamsport. Look, it's a great game. It's a great event. The Little Leaguers, the interaction with the Major Leaguers is great. My understanding, though, is that just so you understand, that, you know, this does come with a price. And my understanding is that the Major League players get $40,000 apiece extra to play in this game, because it is not a major league facility. So, for some reason, that's left out. But it still was a really cool thing to see. Now, next year, what they're going to do is they're going to play this game in Williamsport. They're going to play a game in Omaha at the College World Series. And the Red Sox and Yankees are playing two games in London. I also think there's a game in China next year, a couple games in China next year. So, yeah, believe me, the Major League Baseball Players Association, which might be the greatest union in the world, does make sure the players are taken care of, and it's my understanding that they get $40,000 apiece to play in that game. All right. Football. Week zero is this week. That's what they call it. There will be games. No Power 5 teams are playing this weekend. All the Power 5 teams start playing on Thursday, August 30th. And, of course, Penn State opens with Appalachian State a week from Saturday in Beaver Stadium at 3:30 on, beginning at 2 o'clock. Going in, though, this is a week where hanging in the balance, DJ Durkin. We'll see what Ohio State will probably find out this week what happens with Urban Meyer. Evidently, everything's been handed over to the university president. That was done yesterday. We'll find out more about that. Now let's get some questions. And Jesse Doherty is the one that's going to provide us with some answers because he has been on this story since day one. Jesse, welcome. Thanks a lot for your time. It is really appreciated.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me, guys.
All right, let's start with this. Why wasn't the press conference with the athletic director, who was an interim at the time, and the president held on June 14th instead of August 14th?
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly a question. So I will say that on June 14th, Damon Evans did address reporters with DJ Durkin and the team position, but the tone of that was it wasn't so transparent as it was, you know, this past Tuesday. So I think everyone's kind of wondering why it took ESPN report and reports from the Washington Post and other media outlets to prompt Maryland to have a more concrete and remorseful response to this Jordan McNair's death and all that's surrounded it. But that certainly seems like the case. No one was placed on administrative leave until these reports came out, and wasn't held to outline some more details from the day. And Maryland definitely sat on a lot of information as this has unfolded.
How tough has it been for you to get information from day one? Because obviously he collapsed on May 29th. And then passed away on the 13th. So how hard has it been for you to fight through the weeds or Roman Stubbs or whomever else has had to work on this?
Yeah, it's been extremely difficult. And you know, I applaud colleagues from other outlets that have brought some information to the forefront that we weren't able to get, because, you know, there's competitive juices in this industry. We all want the scoop. But at the end of the day, if things were happening that were untoward or unhealthy in the football program, the most important thing is that they're out there. The difficulty is just that the circumstances of his death right away, it seemed eerie. You know, it was hard to even get people to talk about him for an obituary that is, you know, generally more celebratory or paints someone what someone was like and what they accomplished in their life. It was even hard to do that. You know, high school teammates or high school coaches sort of were quiet, and it almost felt like there was this cone of silence over the whole situation that extended not just in Maryland but also to the football community surrounding Jordan McNair. So from the start of this, it's details have been really tough to get. And to be honest, like I said this the other day to a colleague, I haven't done those interviews about who Jordan McNair was. It's sad to say, but that story sort of came and went, and usually do those around a funeral or whatever it may be. And then once we weren't able to do that, it turned to the investigation and what happened that day. And now that's what the focus is on. So there really hasn't even been a great illustration or depiction of who Jordan was and the life he lived, which hopefully we'll get to do in the future as well.
Did Maryland open any investigation after he passed away, or was the investigation open for the first time this week?
No, they did. So they've in mid to late June, they started an investigation with an athletic training firm called Walters Incorporated that was looking into the circumstances surrounding his death and what led to it. So that's just expected to conclude around September 15th, and Maryland is saying the results of that will be made public whenever they do come. And then the second investigation, which Wallace Lowe, president of the university, launched this week, is pertaining more to the football culture that was illustrated in recent media reports. It's been described as toxic and unhealthy and sort of based on fear and intimidation and all these sorts of things. So that's not so Jordan McNair focused. focus. That's more of the football culture. So, and now both are expected to be ongoing in conjunction with each other as we move forward.
Rick Court, they paid off the rest of his contract at $315,000. What was your thought on that?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I think so the contractual details for a lot of these coaches and staffers need to be understood, because you may say, hey, fire them right away, or, you know, clean house. And it's obviously something that's, I'm sure, being looked into at a lot of levels of the university and the athletic department. But a lot of the time, you know, the financially, you need to fire someone with cause. And if you do it without cause, then you have to pay them the rest of their contract. So obviously you want to have a strong arm approach if you feel like something was done wrong. But if you're on administrative leave in Rick Court's situation, instead of firing him without cause and you know, paying whatever he was owed, they tried to reach a settlement and get it faster. And I think that was the university's way of saying, we are responding to this. We feel like things were not done that were, you know, healthy or correct or right within our football program, and here's the first person who's going to take the fall for that. So it sounded like they did not want to wait until an investigation revealed that they could fire him with cause.
Because, Jesse, it takes a while to prove cause, too. I mean, that is also part of this process. It takes a while to prove cause. And so you sit there and say, do we want to go through that, or we just want to settle and move forward and then go to the other parts of the investigation?
Right, and with the information that's coming out, I think it calls for the university to take a strong approach. So, like you said, it's hard when it does take whatever, a month and a half, 2 weeks to prove cause. You don't necessarily want to wait for that. That can be a public relations nightmare, and it could be people trying to knock down the walls of your university saying, why aren't these people fired yet? And a good explanation is not necessarily we don't want to pay their buyout. People want results now. The confidence of the fan base and the community is in the balance, and it's maybe at the point of no return, but you need to do all you can to from their perspective in order to try and salvage some.
What is the confidence of the fan base and those surrounding the campus?
Yeah, I'd say it's really low right now. You know, there's just a lot going on one after another. You know, it's funny, like there's even some things that have been buried by this. I mean, the athletic department isn't necessarily in a great financial state. The basketball program had two subpoenas sent to it this spring and summer for the FBI investigation, and of course none of that compares to the death of a student athlete, the death of a 19-year-old. But I think if you take everything in a lump sum of what's been going on in the past year of Maryland athletics, it's not pretty, and it all adds up, and each one is sort of a blow to the confidence of the fan base and the community, and right now it's not in a good place at all.
At your paper, now obviously the death of a student athlete is tragic beyond words and is a critical story, but you're also a paper that covers the Redskins, they're in the preseason, covers the Nationals, and a Stanley Cup champion this year. So right now at your paper, what are they saying to you about the coverage of the story?
Yeah, I'd say we're committing a lot of resources to it, and we want to find out from all angles what went wrong, what could have been prevented, and from here, what's going to happen, and what is the fate of a lot of big stakeholders in Maryland, you know, President Wallace Lowe, Athletic Director Damon Evans, football coach DJ Durkin, and so on. And it's a major priority. Right now, it's, you know, I'm working on it. Roman Stubbs, as you mentioned, Rick Mace, who's one of our more seasoned reporters. We have Emily Giambalvo, who's transitioning to the Maryland beat and going to be doing more coverage there, we had a story today in the paper that I thought really advanced the coverage and gave a lot of perspective on how Wallace Lowe rejected the proposal a year ago to align the medical practice for student athletes with University of Maryland's medical school. And there's just a lot of things coming out, and I'm in the office right now looking out a glass door, and I'm seeing everyone on their laptops head down working. So we're definitely looking to provide the most thorough coverage of this situation as we can.
Right. No, I understand. No, you guys have thrown a lot into it, and you've advanced the story tremendously. A story that it seems like it's been very difficult to advance. Yeah. What about the DJ Durkin angle of it? I mean, I've really kind of weaved my way through a lot of areas. I haven't brought him up yet. So now let's get to him and the meat and potatoes of it. Is this a case of he's the CEO and thus everybody's looking at him, or Rick Court allegedly was very tight with him, and you and I both know that strength and conditioning coaches are the conduit between off-season workouts and the head coach?
Absolutely. And for a shameless plug for us, we will have a DJ Durkin focused story out this weekend, maybe today on the internet, for WashingtonPost.com for addressing a lot of these things. What is he culpable for? What would the buyout look like for him? What's he owed the rest of his contract? All those things will be addressed, and it's something we're going to start to dig into. So I'm glad you brought that up. It is a matter of I will say this. I do think that both the investigations right now, one into the death of Jordan McNair and the second into the football culture, have the potential to give Maryland cause to fire DJ Durkin. And I think right now that is what they're probably waiting for, to see, you know, it's due process and then to see what these investigations reveal and how they should move forward. I do think that with that said, the second investigation into the football culture has a better chance of falling on Durkin. The McNair situation, Maryland has been adamant about making that an athletic trainer situation where they messed up the medical care for Jordan McNair, and that's become abundantly clear. Whether it is found that DJ Durkin has responsibility over that, then Maryland would have the ability to fire him. But the football culture is the biggest piece of the DJ Durkin puzzle right now. And as you said, he has been adamant in the past about his relationship with Rick Court and the alignment of a head coach to strength and conditioning coach. So Durkin has not helped himself with his old words. You can't say now, well, you know, bad things were found and reports came out, so now I'm going to distance myself from the actions of Rick Court. It's been very clear throughout DJ Durkin's entire tenure that he and Rick Court are entirely aligned. He once called them his most important hire. It was his first hire in College Park. You could go on and on about the connection between the two. So I think if they do find that Rick Court's actions, you know, solidify the fact that he resigned this week, then I think DJ Durkin's going to be fully connected to that.
Which then brings me to the next part. You know, DJ Durkin isn't the only member of the football coaching staff. There are 10 assistants. Now, the one that's been there the shortest period of time, I'm not surprised, ends up being the one that's the interim head coach. Thus, he would be under the right category of, quote, least culpable. Would that be fair? Go ahead, because I think you knew where I was going with that. What about the rest of the guys?
Yeah, and I don't think that was a mistake either with Matt Canada, as you mentioned. I mean, he's new, and he's only been here for a certain amount of time. It's really tough to say what the fate of the rest of the coaching staff is. And there's not a lot of precedent for this, especially with two things happening in conjunction with each other. One, the death of a player in which the coaching staff was at the workout but not running it. And then two, this culture that's being painted in media reports. So it's really tough to say, and I'm not sure what happens there. I mean, but what I will say is, if Durkin leaves, and by the end of this year they hire a new head coach, and it's who's not Matt Canada or whatever it may be, then that coach is going to want to bring in their guys, as right. We know. So it's not necessarily that these guys take the fall for this Maryland situation, but Durkin leaving does not give them great long-term prospects for their jobs.
Right.
And then other than that, you know, maybe Maryland does find that they are responsible, or certain members are responsible, and then they'll go from there.
It's interesting about Matt Canada. This will be the final question I have for you, because you have work you have to get to. And that is about Matt Canada. You're talking about a guy that has been at 7 places in the last 9 years. I mean, he has been for hire. I mean, the number of games right. I've done in my career where, oh, look, it's Wisconsin, there's Matt Canada. Oh, look, it's Indiana, right. There's Matt Canada. Look, Pitt, it's Matt Canada. Every time I turn around, he's been there. I feel like he's been as many Penn State games as I have.
Right.
So what about him, and what feel do you have for him?
Yeah, I mean, he's I don't want to say there's any positives in this situation, because right now there's not. And again, like, not to beat a dead horse, but that's a bad way to say that, but not to beat the drum, but the,
right.
Jordan McNair's death really hangs over all of this. And it's so football-wise, it's weird to talk about, but I do think, if you will say one good thing, it's that Matt Canada's been in so many situations that this adaptation and the quick change and you know, whatever it may be, is not that foreign to him. So as far as people Maryland could have to sort of, you pick up the pieces of what's become a mess. I mean, Matt Canada sort of, he's worked with a lot of different people and a lot of different players and a lot of different situations and a lot of different climates, and he's had to adapt throughout his career, and this is a new role for him. But like you said, he's no stranger to that. So he's definitely he's a journeyman in every sense of the word. And it's definitely something that, you know, Maryland has probably made a good choice there, like you said, with him being probably the quote-unquote least culpable, and we'll see how it shakes out.
Well, Jesse Doherty, along with the rest of the Washington Post staff, they've been on this and advancing the story, and it's been a difficult story to advance. Thanks so much, Jesse, for your time. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Anytime.
Jesse Doherty, Washington Post. Again, an informative interview there, because let's start with this. The report they're coming out with September 15th is actually the investigation that did begin
in mid-June following the death of Jordan McNair. They made it seem as if they weren't doing that. They really haven't been doing much about this, when the reality is they have been doing the investigation the entire time on that part of it. It's the looking into the coaching staff part that is only recent, and that's problematic because they obviously did not consider doing an investigation into that until the ESPN story came out. That's obvious. And the Washington Post has been on top of this the entire time, but they obviously didn't even think about investigating the staff because that staff was completely in place at Big Ten Media Day. DJ Durkin was there, strength and conditioning coach. Rick Court was still on the staff at that time. Wes Robinson, all of them, the athletic training staff. Now, of course, they've all been put on administrative leave. And Matt Canada has been running the show. Matt Canada has been this individual for a hire. This is the seventh school he's been at in 9 years. I mean, some people have Marriott points. I mean, obviously he's got Atlas Van Line points. It's unbelievable. All right, so that's the story going on there, with the season coming up, we'll see what they want to do. Again, the season coming up should not matter. It's only just making sure what's correct and what the truth looks like. But you know darn well there are some people that are saying with the season coming up, you got to get this done. That's the same thing with Ohio State. Season's coming up, got to get this done. We could look for the truth. Sometimes the truth takes a little bit longer to get to, but we will find out what each institution obviously wants to do. All right, back to work for everybody after the weekend, and also back to work sports-wise. Penn State football does have the day off today. This is the first day of classes at Penn State, and this being the first day of classes, they get to get acclimated. And being the first day of classes, you also have to have a day off. And it doesn't necessarily have to be today, but it is. And what the Nittany Lions will do is they'll go through an off day today. Obviously, there's treatment for the players, but they've got an off day. And then they'll go back to work with a practice tomorrow. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, they'll do some stuff on Saturday. And then get into game week, which will then be Sunday, and then get Monday off again, which is, again, James always gives his team Monday off. Today's show has been brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.